This is a time when we open to that music that is over our heads, that is in the space between us as we pay attention, that is in that space within us that in which God takes up residence. We open to that place. And you are welcome as you are. I'm not sure what your week included this week, how this week kind of affected your life and changed its path. No matter who you are and how you come, you are welcome in this place. And as we gather, we welcome God's presence in this place. So I invite you to sing together, "Welcome into this place." And when you see the symbols of our faith coming forward, I'd invite you to just stand as you are able. Which contains for us the wisdom of God. We have filled the font in which we are reminded that all of us and all creation rests within the eternal blessing of our Creator. And we have placed our community prayer shawl before us, reminding us that we are a community that gathers in prayer, that lives in prayer. You are welcome in this place, and we open to God's presence. Please be seated.
Our first reading was written during the 50 years that the people of Israel were in the exile in Babylon. This was a time of terrible questioning. Had God abandoned them? Did the one they loved and worshipped in Jerusalem leave them? In today's reading, Isaiah assures the people that God is present. Wait on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name, because his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? Why, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. In our gospel reading, we continue to move through the stories of the early ministry of Jesus. Mark's gospel moves at a dizzying pace, from healing to casting out demons and preaching. His fame is spreading. Mark chapter 1, verse 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they were with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to start this morning by telling you something that I learned while I was away last week. I was at an event on Bowen Island that was all about the dance of order and chaos. All life falls somewhere on a spectrum of chaos and order. And the most creative place is a kind of a dancing between the two. So I want to just kind of describe it to you, and I'm hoping that this mic is working. So you have a spectrum, and here we have order. And we are comfortable in order when things are predictable, when what you expect to happen will happen. Your household is in order when everything has a place and everything is in its place. We have chaos. Chaos happens when what we expect, or we feel the chaos, when what we expected to happen doesn't happen, and we find ourselves on a slightly more mobile ground. Now, I may say, I don't know how those words strike you, whether order feels like home and chaos feels scary, or whether chaos feels like a great relief because order feels so stifling. Right? We live kind of between those two places, and we get comfortable in order until we start to feel like life is just so doggone predictable, and then we find ourselves in chaos, which feels like great, creative space, and then like it's never gonna stop, and then we try and make order out of that chaos. Do you know this story? There's other places in this spectrum, though. We have chaos, we have the middle place and order, and then we have this place over here, which is a kind of order on steroids. Okay? It's control. You know the place of control? It's where those where predictability becomes the law. Where stuff has to happen a certain way, and when it doesn't happen a certain way, there's a price to be paid. Right? You know a home that is chaotic, that is placed into some kind of order, And that order becomes almost kind of maniacal and sterile. You've been in those kind of perfect homes that, and you're not actually allowed to. If you've ever taken your kids into one of those perfect homes, you know what that feels like. You know? Especially if they're kind of two and under. That's control. Communities can fall into control. We lived in a townhouse complex where the rules of the townhouse complex were so important to some people that kids were hesitant to go outside because control, they felt the control of those who lived by the rules, and you were not allowed to even inch close to the edges of them. Political control creates an incredibly stifling nation. Control, order, chaos. And then there's this other place called chamos. It's chaos on steroids. It's the kind of chaos that is completely out of control. It's when life just gets completely beyond you. And you don't know even where to grab on to try and pull it back. Chaos can come when a big piece of your life is stripped from you. And you find yourself in complete chaos. Right? This is the place where if you live here long enough, despair creeps in. There's nothing I can do. Depression creeps in with chamos. My life is out of control, and there's nothing I can do about it. We live somewhere on that spectrum all the time. We as individuals, we as Northwood community, and we as nations, as a global community, live somewhere on that spectrum. Sometimes different parts of the world live in different places on that spectrum at the same time. One of the things that came to me this when I was learning about this is it's actually not a spectrum that sits like this. It's more like a U, like this, where control and chamos are actually pretty close together because that's where revolution happens. Nations are so under the control of rulers and people rebel and it becomes absolute chamos. It's a destructive place, but that's the only way they know to deal with the control that is so close. It can happen in personal relationships as well. Okay? It's just time to break stuff down because it feels so stifling in this relationship. For me, that has been a really helpful framework to think about where we live and the creative place that this order chaos middle place is. That's very fertile ground for newness to emerge. Very fertile ground for something new to become established and precious because we've organized it. But not so organized that it loses its life. Do you know that place? It's a really creative place. In our communities, in our personal lives, it's tricky, but nations need to live in that place too. Sometimes the political culture doesn't make that terribly easy. Can anybody relate to that kind of framework in your lives? I was thinking about that framework when I was reading the gospel reading for today. In Mark, we have, particularly in Mark, we have an incredibly fast-moving story. Over the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been reading the first chapter of Mark. just the first chapter in little bits because it moves so fast that you can't take a too big bite. Otherwise, it's too much. Life is moving really fast. Jesus, even in today, Jesus is healing, engaging with demons, preaching, trying to get away, being called back. Like, a lot is happening in a very short period of time. And for our purposes, at this moment, we might think of it as the powers at either end of the spectrum. The voices of control and Hamas are pulling at him. He goes from place to place proclaiming the gospel, and when his disciples search him out, want him to set up shop, come on back, there's so much to do, he says no. At this stage, what the gospel needs is to spread. It must not become domesticated. It must not fall into too much order and certainly not control. He's dancing among the rising expectations. And you can hear the excitement in the voices of the disciples as they come to him in the quiet of the morning. Guess what? You're a hit. You are such a success. You're a superstar. Everybody is asking about you. And Jesus simply replies, no, I didn't come for stardom. I didn't even come to heal every person that I see. We must leave this place and move on, and I must not let popularity unhinge me, knock me off this step I dance. Well, I got to tell you, I really have admiration for that. I don't know how he did that. How did he manage to stay focused despite the demands, despite the pace, despite the temptations and the expectations? I mean, how did he keep on track and not venture too far from this creative place between order and chaos? Well, I do think that the gospel writer gives us a clue, at least. And that clue comes at early morning. And his choice to be in a lonely place. Feeling the last of the cold of the night and the first of the day's warmth. That crossing point when you see and feel the change from night to day. It's a powerful place to refocus. Draw myself to my deepest self and place all of that in the openness and the wideness of the mystery of what God is doing in you as night evolves into day and sleep into wake and silence into sound. In that quiet, shifting time, God moves us, draws back the curtain, draws us back to the purpose of our life, kind of rehinges us, connects us to the pivot point and the solid post upon which our life is swinging back and forth. Do you have moments in your life in which you stop, perhaps steal away to a lonely place or a lonely moment in which you open yourself to that rehinging presence of God? I mean, it doesn't have to be fancy. In fact, it's best if it isn't. It could be a walk. Could be a morning yoga routine. It could be a cup of tea. And do you have a lonely place where you go and are reminded of what your life is really all about and who you are at your core? Do you have places that you go periodically in your life, you know, return to that place where you are free enough of the order and the chaos of life to remember who you are in the midst of it all? All kinds of places are coming to my mind. Those are my places. Adopting a practice of returning to that grounding place and finding moments to return there, making sure they happen, like Jesus in early morning, is, I believe, absolutely critical in learning the dance of order and chaos. And I do believe we need to learn the dance in whatever shoes we choose. Because we all dance it differently. We're all, some of us are more inclined to one side of this dance than the other. It's why we need each other, so that we don't wander too far off one side of this dance or the other. Sometimes life swings feverishly back and forth. Sometimes life just kind of sweeps us far out to one side or the other. And these times when we are sort of swept to the one side or the other, they can be very painful times when the tables are overturned and the powers can move swiftly to exert themselves. Well, the gospel proclamation, the thing that we hold on to as people of faith and followers of Jesus, the good news to which Jesus pointed and in which he lived his life, and the thing that he calls us to in life, no matter where we find ourselves on that spectrum, that thing is not a static place, but a dance, a spiritual practice of being grounded in the midst of it all and engaging with the order and chaos of it all. That's the place where our faith comes to bear, is exercised in the middle of our life, in the middle of the chaos and the order. God calls you into that place to dance, to find your holy ground, to go there so that you don't lose yourself. Because that is the place where abundant life, the life we're promised, that's the place from which abundant life emerges. Welcome to the dance. Amen. I know one of the spiritual practices that reminds me of myself and reminds me of who the way that God sees me is singing. And I have particular pieces that bring me back. And Psalm 91 is one of them. Let's sing together.
I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand. You need not fear a terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you it shall.
Please be seated. Well, there's a lot going on in the life and work of Northwood United Church, and I would invite the offering folks to move into place as we bring before God our offerings, but we also offer ourselves and the life of this community to God, so you need to know a few things. In the wider church, our neighbor church, Crossroads United Church, moved into its newly, thoroughly renovated building at the beginning of Advent, and today, yes, please come forward. Today, there is a service of dedication to dedicate that building to the mission of God among them. That's happening at 7 o'clock tonight at Crossroads, which is on Scott Road and about 75th, 76th on the Delta side of Scott Road. And you would be very welcome to be a part of that celebration. They are quite thrilled that they now have a new kind of platform for the mission of Crossroads in the Surrey Delta neighborhood. So we go to celebrate with them. Ready? This is the voice of Jennifer Scott. Next Sunday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon is our very first Jazz Vespers. So
what's out there? I feel scared when I'm hit from.
There we go. This is a great experiment. And so 4 o'clock next Sunday, you're invited to come and hear some really, really good jazz as woven into the fabric of prayer and spoken word in worship. And so please get the word out to anybody that you know that loves worship and jazz. It should be just a really fabulous experience. And it's the beginning of a series of Jazz Vespers on the second and fourth Sundays of the month for the next 3 months for sure. And the name of the gentleman who's going to be here on the 26th is, help me, Jerry, do you remember the name of the guy who's going to be? Don Stewart. So So we've got some jazz performers coming to become part of the fabric of our worship in the next little while. Also, you didn't realize it, but on Friday we launched our new website, and that's what it is. So Trina's just going to kind of wander around the website while I talk and show you some of what has been created. Our dream for this website is not that it be, is that people know online that Northwood exists. That when they're searching for a spiritual home, they might bump into Northwood and find the real thing, who we are together. But there's also more to it than that. This website is hopefully going to be a tool for our ministry together. If you're wondering, gee, I wonder if seniors' lunch is happening this weekend, where it's happening. Oh, I'll go to the website and you will find there all the information you need. If you are wondering what the youth group schedule is this week, oh, there it is on the website. It will be thoroughly and regularly updated. You can find the prayers that Dan prays with us at choir every Thursday night appear on our website. So sermons are there in both a written form and we're still working on making sure that they're regularly up on in an audio form so you can just click on and listen to the scripture reading and the sermon for the past week or for previous weeks. All of the Advent, all of the series on mission that happened before Advent are there with audio and text. So we'll try and keep all of that up. There's also a blog section that we haven't quite figured out, but all the events, any news. What we'd like for you to do is go to the website and find all the mistakes. Find all the mistakes and tell us where they are. It is so easy to fix them, but we may not know what they are. Tell us what's missing. Tell us what, what do you, when you go to the website, can you imagine something different? Can you imagine how we might use this website for embracing the community with the love of Christ? So, there it is. And it's the same address that it used to be, northwood-united.org. So, thanks for the computer whiz. This Saturday at the ABC restaurant at 9 o'clock in the morning, men's breakfast. All men of Northwood are welcome to come and be community together at the ABC restaurant. Also, I was asked to mention the tax receipts. If you have tax receipts that you haven't picked up for 2011, they're waiting for you. So that will help us to save some money by not having to send those out by mail. Was there another announcement, Jerry? Yes, the Orpheus Choir is singing here on the 25th. And isn't that a great thing? Just too bad you can't come. I think it's sold out. Am I right, Barbara?
Yes.
It's sold out. So this place is going to be packed, which is really nice. And it's a great thing. So, all right. Let us... Right. Thank you. See, I knew there were things. These things should be on the website, so I can just go through and... Yeah. And next week, the Children's Church is making soup for the following week, which will be Super Sunday. So if you could bring some vegetables to put into the soup, that would be really great. We will collect them up, and they will make soup out of it. All right. Let us bring before God all that we have to offer.
How can I say?
we thank you for all that you give to us. Everything we have, all that we are, comes from the source of love at your heart. Bless you for all that we have been given, and may we and these gifts be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. One of the grounding places in the Christian church is the communion table, the table of grace, the table that reminds us that at this meal and at every meal and in every time and place, God welcomes us into life and places no barriers before us and abundant life. Jesus instituted this table. He showed us how it's done with his life. He welcomed all kinds of people. It didn't matter who you are, what you had done or not done, who you loved, who you hated, how you were treated or mistreated. None of it mattered. He opened his door and his heart and this meal to all manner of people. And so we do the same. You are here and you are welcome to gather around this table. We receive communion at four stations, in one station in front of each section of people. And we come forward, and I invite you to take a piece of bread or rice cake, as the case may be, and dip it into the cup and receive in that fashion when you get to the station. And if you are in the outside sections, if you could come to the front by the outside aisle and return by the pillar aisle, that would be great. And if you're in the middle aisles, if you could, middle section,